The rest of the story. If you have thought of Ireland as a nation of shepherds and brawlers and corned beef and cabbage, it's not. For 8 centuries after the fall of the Roman Empire, Ireland preserved and later passed on to Europe the stream of its culture. Respected as a nation of schools and scholars, Ireland was a land in love with learning. And this largely due to the influence of one man, St. Patrick. St. Patrick is synonymous with Ireland. It was he who made it a Christian nation, who used the shamrock to illustrate the Trinity of God. Much of the world's literature and culture was inspired by him, and he didn't begin until he was 60. And there's another remarkable fact in the life of this remarkable man. In many ways, St. Patrick is Ireland, but there is a rest of the story. Before the end of the 7th century, St. Patrick had become a legendary figure, and the legends have continued to grow. One of these would have it that he drove the snakes out of Ireland and into the sea. Well, if it never happened in reality, symbolically it was true. The act of Christianizing Ireland was no easy task. It was a heathen nation back then, warlike, unreceptive to cultural or spiritual change. Irish marauders were not unlike the Vikings, not averse to going abroad and raiding and raping other lands and taking slaves. But these were his people, his responsibility, God seemed to tell St. Patrick. He was once visited by a dream in which the voice of the Irish called to him, beseeching him to spread the word of God. But the shortcomings of his education and the mystery of that beckoning prevented him from answering for many years. What right had he, after all? What qualified him above the rest? Even on the night that he made up his mind that he determined himself to go out among his people, he was beset by doubts of his fitness for the mission. But once underway, his hesitancy vanished. Confident in his purpose, he journeyed far and wide, baptized those who would receive him, gave without asking in return, and even at that, trouble followed him. Many were suspicious of his efforts and his untiring zeal, and on at least one occasion he was cast into chains. He lived in danger of martyrdom. Though his life was in constant peril, he never feared the loss of it. He was driven by and destined to carry out God's will, and in that he would not fail. But the phenomenal success of Patrick's mission, the cultural and spiritual uplifting of an entire people, was not the work of a great scholar. The writings that survived him, though they mirror a truth and a simplicity of the rarest kind, are rustic, occasionally incoherent, for the man who went out among marauders and enslavers was himself once a slave of the very people to whom he would one day preach. Torn from the villa of his father at the age of 16, he would spend the next 6 years a captive in Ireland. And it was there in captivity that his spirit was set free. He would turn to God, and God would not desert him ever. But if at last he escaped and fled bondage, he could and would not escape the bargain that he made with God. One day he would return to share the love and the compassion which he found there. And he did. And now the whole world shares it also. And so it is that the youthful slave, the elder saint, the Patrick who is Ireland, was not Irish. He was Scottish. And now you know the rest of the story.